All right, welcome to A Course in Miracles.
A Course in Miracles is based, you know, the front of the book's got this word miracle on it. It's not the same miracle that's in the dictionary.
Thank God.
Thank God, huh? Yeah.
Thank God.
The real miracle is natural. The miracle to the world is something extraordinary that shouldn't even happen. And it's an illusion. It's not really happening, or it's a crazy thing you're lucky to get if it's a miracle in the world. Whereas A Course in Miracles' miracle is you're returning to sanity. You're returning to the truth. That's the miracle. And you have a shift in perception from the misunderstanding back to understanding. Something that you shouldn't be trusting back to something you can trust. That's a miracle to this book. So it doesn't happen in the world. It happens in your mind. Now that's good news, because everywhere you go, your mind goes to.
I hope.
Those people don't necessarily show up. The money doesn't necessarily show up. The health doesn't necessarily show up the way you want it to. The time isn't necessarily there. But your mind is. The good luck isn't necessarily happening. All the support you wish you had may not actually be there, but your mind is. That's the good news. So a miracle is shifting from something you shouldn't be trusting that you do to something you can trust for sure. Now, tonight's paragraph, tonight's section in the book that we're working,
4:30.
The section we're working, it's got an interesting title. It's, you know, the adjustment word. Sin is an adjustment. Adjustment. Sin as an adjustment. Now, in this book, it's another word. Don't look it up in the dictionary to find out what sin is, to A Course in Miracles. Jeffrey.
Hi, Andrew.
In A Course in Miracles, sin is another word, just for mistake, it's another word for, really, separation. The only mistake you ever made, on which you based entire existence, a dream of a separate being surviving, separate from the truth, from everything else. It's you against it, really. There's only two things, right? You and everything else. That's duality. That's the lived experience of being in a body. A miracle is a correction of the big picture through each little block where you really think you're a victim. A little block of health or wealth or good fortune or whatever, bad fortune. Each little one seems to be representing the world is true. I'm not a body. I'm stuck with this problem. A miracle is a wake up. In the presence of the problem. No problem, no miracle. Right?
Yeah. Okay.
Here's another shocker for you, maybe. Miracles are not holy. There are no miracles in heaven. No need for them. A miracle is a correction of a mistake, a problem. No problem, no miracle.
Maybe that's why I haven't had a miracle for a while.
No problem!
So a miracle is like the deliverance of the hell of like an ignorant state or a...
Yes. It is. Deliverance from an ignorant state. That's as good a definition as any, and you'll have 100. There's 50 in the front of the book.
Change in perception.
A change in perception. Yeah. For all the right reasons. Okay, so for tonight, the adjustment that it's calling out for us to look at is in relationship. Your Relationship. You can say it to another person. That's the easiest, and that's probably the most urgent for you. Whether it's your spouse or your mother or your brother or your neighbor, we've got relationships, and a lot of times there's problems with these holy ones. There's problems. But it's also to your car and your iPhone and your favorite t-shirt. I mean, you got one, right? You got one. I got one. I don't like to wear it. Because what if the burrito stain is forever gone? Right? And I know how to get burrito stain. They don't come out. They don't come out.
It's
disintegrating.
Tomato sauce. Man, it just goes right through.
Both shirts ruined.
It goes right through. Forever.
It's got all sorts of things.
There's a relationship that, right there, and it can take your peace. It's a shirt for crying. Yeah, come on, let's be honest. More so with people, okay? You, or of course. So, that's what we're going to look at a little tonight. We're going to look at the adjustments that we make in our being around other people. The adjustments that we make around other people.
Should be good.
I think it's what's worse is the adjustments we don't make around people. It's going to go on and on and on and bug you to death until you're...
The bullheadedness we take around other people.
That's it.
The blindness we insist on around others. Take it any way you like. You would flex with one person and not with the other. That's your adjustment, is to not give an inch. Ever. Like, ever. Now you're safe. Because that SOB doesn't deserve a slack. I mean, did you hear what they said? They meant it. That's who they are. They don't deserve a break. That is an adjustment to that other person. Because if Mary said the wrong thing... You instantly say, well, what do you mean, Mary? That's not you. What did you mean? And she'd say, well, here's what I meant. You say, oh, okay, I heard it differently. You would give, you would not have to adjust away from Mary. You would adjust toward Mary. Would everybody here look at Mary for a moment?
Mary.
Mary.
Hi, Mary. Contrary.
Is it true that you wish for her a good night's sleep tonight?
Absolutely.
Everybody?
Yes.
All night.
Sweet dreams.
I'm going to say yes on that one.
I'm going to go with yes.
Absolutely. Thank you so much. You picked just the right one.
You're really good night's sleep, Mary. I mean, just where you just kind of, you go for head, hits the pillow, and you take a few breaths, and you just look. Lazy drift off to sleep. Oh, it's so comfortable and ooh, all night.
Nice.
I want that. I want that for her.
Yeah.
I want that for Mary.
Yes.
Honestly.
Me too.
Because I think she deserves it. I want it for her. It's easy. It's not hard. Some way to do that. Let's all just give her that thought right now. Mary, good night's sleep tonight. So restful. Oh, easy breaths all night. Easy dreams. Love it. Yeah, wish that for her. So if Mary says the wrong thing right now, we're going to say, well, what do you really mean, Mary? We're going to bend toward her. Because we're open. But you get people in your life that you get some difficulty with, and you take it the wrong way and leave it the wrong way. And essentially push them away. You bend away from them. You getting the drift here? One way is holy. The word holy, you know, it starts with the root with a W in front. W-H-O-L-L, all together. Holy. Oneness is holy. Respecting the big picture is holy. So we have the holy relationship and we have the unholy relationship. We have that knee-jerk reaction from the ego that judges and pushes away form relationships in our life. It seems to happen so quickly, but it seems to be justified too. Okay, that is in this book what we call a block to the awareness of love's presence. A miracle is shifting yourself to the awareness of love's presence. In presence of the problem, whatever the problem is. That's the correction we would make. So for tonight, we're talking about the adjustments that we make, the resistances that you automatically put up for certain people. We just got to pick one. It's really helpful for tonight for our meditation. Is you pick somebody in your life you've had a difficulty with. It doesn't really matter who it is. They're already in your head. That one will do. And let's just look at this person. Look at ourselves through this person. When we're up around with this person. What adjustment? Think of an adjustment you make when you're around this person. That's what I want you to do. That first person that popped up is just fine. Not that you'd ever change. I'm not asking you to change. But I want you to see yourself around that person. You personally have a gift you can give yourself tonight. It could mean a lot to you going forward. I'm not saying you have to tell the group. I'm just saying, look at this. Look at this behavior that's been a block in your own life. And I'm not telling you to change. That's not what we're about here. We're not saying change the world. It's your own peace of mind. That's what matters. That's how you get a good night's sleep. You want to start?
Yep.
Go ahead, tell us.
So my granddaughter lives with me.
Okay.
And she'll say something, and I'll ask her, what does that mean, or what did you mean by that, or something like that. And she looks at me with what feels like absolute disdain that I don't understand, that I should be asking in the first place, etc. So my first reaction is to take a breath and move back.
Mm-hmm.
And then I notice when I'm doing that is I'm withdrawing love. My feeling of love for her is being withdrawn.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And so then I say, okay, what was it I wanted instead?
Beautiful.
And what I wanted was to have a conversation where I could be interested in her and she could be interested in me.
Mm-hmm.
The interested in me part is what gets me because it's obvious that she isn't.
And what's obvious, if someone was no words, now the volume's turned off and we're watching this movie like we just did. We all watched this movie, by the way, everybody here. What happened with those two people? Each one attacked, one defended, the other one defended from the first one's attack, and vice versa. They both reeled away from each other. Visually. Right? We had a wrinkled nose and we had a backup and then we had another person back up. It's like, I'm not understood. I'm not, well, you don't deserve to be understood, you little beep. You don't treat your elders that way.
So then what I did after all that was, what was she wanting in terms of not wanting to answer my question?
Yes.
Or explain what she had said or anything. And what I realized is she doesn't really want to be. She's 20, almost 25. Mm-hmm. She doesn't really want to be interested in her grandmother.
Yeah, that's a story, isn't it? That's a story. Remember we did story a couple weeks ago? That was so good. We should do that one again. All the stories we tell, that'd be another story that she just told herself and she doesn't be interested in her grandmother. Period. That's the story you told yourself.
And my job now is to figure out how to love her given that.
Yeah, so let's start with this. Okay, so what adjustment you made and you think you told us? She saw the wrinkle on that woman's face. An adjustment she made, was to step back and defend.
Not verbally, but...
No, but physically.
Physically.
You took a step back?
Mm-hmm.
I know what that means. I know what that means when somebody takes a step back. It speaks loud and clear, better than any words you could have picked. Yeah, good. Thank you. It's a perfect example. Yeah. Don't tell me. Okay, tell me. Mona?
Dawn.
Laura. Dawn.
Thank you, Laura.
Dawn.
So, yeah, I'm dealing with this. I used to, you know, judge everyone and have a problem with everyone. Now I'm learning to see. What I always try to do now is easy for me when people, because I live in an SLE, so I live with 9 other women who are, you know, just newly sober, so there's still a lot of addiction. So, they're always bickering and starting with each other to come at me because I have the light. Like, I'm the one that brings in the love. When people aren't in that, you know, and they're not ready for that, they don't like that. So, I just try to see everyone as I look at them as children. it's working for
that
me.
That helps.
But the one person that came to my mind is this guy that I've been seeing for 2 years. I met him when I was, you know, in my addiction, like active addiction, and I was very low vibrational then because I was drinking and I didn't realize how our relationship was. And then I warned him though. I said, "When I get sober, you're not going to know who I am." And I'm going on, I have 9 months now, and I keep pushing him away because, like, I see myself when I see he's
by
so
the way,
powerful.
This is EA, Eagles Anonymous.
Yeah, that's why I said this is great. Like,
we're so addicted to this image we have, and this ego, and it gets in our way. Yeah. Boy, it'd be nice not to be so drunk on being that ego. Mm-hmm. You bet.
Yeah.
So what happens when you're around this person? What adjustment do you make?
I have to kind of lower who I have to be someone I'm not. I'm usually outgoing and happy, but when I'm around him, he doesn't like that. It bothers him. So it drains me.
Yes.
And it lowers my vibration.
Oh, uh-huh, because he knows that low vibration person who was drunk.
Yeah.
And he get along with that, okay.
So he tells me, like, oh, you're passive aggressive.
He misunderstood very quickly.
And I'm like, forget it. I said, I can't. Like, I just broke up with him 2 weeks ago, and I said, I can't do this. I said, we're totally on different wavelengths now. And that's my ego. Like, I'm like, who am I to say, you know? Yep.
At my house, I have this redwood tree. And I wasn't in my house 30 days before I started putting bolts in it and climbing it. And I went up 150 feet, cut the top off, put a platform, and that's where I studied Course in Miracles for the first 20 years. I literally ascended off the ground, sat on top of that tree, away from the world, had this Silicon Valley job, but just de-stress, go zip up, I built an elevator up the side of the tree.
Nice.
I'd sit up there, oh yeah. Let me tell you, you add that, which is pretty cool. I mean, I'm above the canopy, I'm watching the sunset.
Good job, Andrew Ego.
really, right? Right? Plus A Course in Miracles, right? And you're doing that workbook, and you're just, so good. I'd come down from the tree, I'd be singing a song, I'd be glowing, and my girlfriend would say, stop that. You're making me depressed. You're singing, and I feel like crying, and that's not helping. I really was. I wasn't sure I was on the ground, floating off the ground like this, walking along, just a great love. Yeah, I know what you mean. There's an adjustment. Respectfully, I learned. I loved her. You got to make an adjustment. Yeah, good one. Very good. Thank you. Brother John, is there an adjustment you make around certain people?
Yeah. Matter of fact, I've been living in this house for about, I guess, around 14 years now.
Huh.
And I'm going to try to say this the best way I can. The landlord, who I live in the same area, not too close, of course, but in the front of the house, me, him and his wife.
Okay.
And this guy is what I would call a real contrary personality.
Okay.
I mean, everything that I think is right, he thinks is wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And everything he thinks is right, I think is wrong.
Uh-huh.
And this is the way it is.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I say contrary, because, just because it disagrees with my worldview, I guess.
Sure, worldview. That happens, doesn't it?
Right. So there's been some friction.
Yes.
In the past.
Yeah.
We're mostly over that.
Okay.
Because, you know, I had to... I was trying to get along, trying to avoid stuff, and then I just finally had to start, you know...
Compromising, cooperating, distancing?
No, fighting back.
Fighting back.
Verbally. Oh. Oh. I can't fight come to blows.
Okay.
Or else I wouldn't be there.
Okay.
But what it is, basically... I'm around this guy, you know. When I'm around him, I have to kind of keep it simple.
Keep it simple.
Yeah. You know, so that's my adjustment.
Yeah.
Which is sort of like a reverse adjustment. So it's like not doing anything, it's going in the opposite direction.
Don't provoke him. Don't engage him.
Right.
Don't have
right.
a conversation.
And when he makes a terrible joke, I kind of make another joke that's funnier,
uh-huh.
but not too good.
Uh-huh. Yeah, right? Uh-huh.
That could be my ego.
Sure.
That's how I'm dealing with it.
Sure.
I'll put that aside.
Yes.
Right now, but that's it's an example of an adjustment.
Yes.
Even a non-adjustment is an adjustment.
Yes.
And so you know, it's just over time you learn how to get along.
Uh huh. Uh huh.
And so it's
you bet, and it helps you get along.
Yeah.
Yes.
So it seems to work best.
It's great. It's very good. None of these things are crazy. Pretty reasonable. I mean, this is what we do when we get these signals and we learn how to cope. Yeah. That's good. But there is a cost that's being paid with each of them. Let's continue. Eileen, you got an adjustment you make around certain people?
Yeah, there's one person in my life, been in my life a really long time. We have a deep, affectionate relationship that's gone through many changes, and... what happens sometimes is I misinterpret, or I assume we'll be seeing each other and I'll start feeling uncomfortable, like something isn't right, and I read it as something is he's responding to me. And so I make judgments about that, and then I start withdrawing from it and start telling a story about it in my head, like this is going on because of this and this, and it was like the past, because I attribute the past to it a lot, when in reality, and then there's a breakdown in the communication, and I completely withdraw from communication because I don't know what to say, and I say, this is not a good relationship. I start defining the relationship, telling the story around it to myself and whoever will listen. I don't do that as much anymore. But this still comes up sometimes.
Yes.
I'm looking at it differently. I'm seeing that most times it has nothing to do with me. Because
but your ego would feed this fire.
Oh my
so
God.
The adjustment happens in their presence, because obviously you can't.
And
you
then
can't
I resist the relationship.
And then you resist the relationship.
And then I resist the relationship, and then I make another story about why I'm resisting the relationship. So it's kind of, I add layers to it, and then what happens, it's kind of like the shift happens. Like, when you know someone a really long time and you care about, you can't just shut it off, that part. Right?
Interesting, yeah.
So, after 45 years, we can actually get to a place and at least talk about it a little bit. And that's where I find out that my reaction, not my response, but my reaction... is my ego thinking I know what's going on with this person.
Thinking you know what's going on with that person.
Absolutely not.
Very good.
It has nothing to do with me at all.
But your ego will come up with a beautiful story. You can even write it down, script it, and send it to Hollywood.
And I've done that. No, I didn't send it to Hollywood yet.
But, but you can write up the whole thing.
Yeah,
that's right. Thank you. David, what adjustment? You have an adjustment you make to certain people?
Oh, my wife.
Yeah, okay.
I mean, basically, she doesn't like this stuff at all.
Okay.
So, you know, a lot of times I just make an adjustment, don't bring it, don't do this, that, but then I want to, you know, you start becoming what you're doing, and then I learned that, you know, if you do it right and you really make it work right, then it'll just fit in there. But I gotta leave all of the ego out.
Wow.
And with her, it's like, so to me, it's like, in a way, it's really cool because I get to leave it all out, and it's kind of hard to do that.
Uh-huh.
You know, you got just, so uh-huh. as time goes along, I'm learning to dump the ego big time.
Uh-huh.
And it's like, wow. And sometimes I just gotta go, just shut up. No matter which way you go, you're going to get knocked down. So I just kind of just
even
go.
Quietness
and the ego part, realizing by just letting that ego go, that is so helpful.
Wouldn't the ego not like easy. To fix that whole situation and show her the best?
Oh, he wants the ego to get up there just saying when he gets involved in an argument.
How about this part? When she says something in whatever it is that she does like, and you know of some place in the book that says the same thing or something close, and you'd like to share it. He learned not to do that?
Actually, I make sure that I ain't, that the book, I'll use it,
uh-huh.
but it cannot be any related, can't relate it to the book.
Can't, very good. There it
and
is, yes.
That's kind of cool because this is just a form that I don't need to
yes.
shoot at somebody.
Yes.
But when it works, you don't need the book.
Uh-huh, very good.
Book's just temporary.
Very good. The book is just a pointer.
So I am looking for, I'm going to make this part of my reality. I don't need any of these terms and this stuff in here.
Very good.
And
the book is a piece of word with a bunch of ink.
Yeah.
That's
you know,
very
so
good.
Yeah. I learned that I can't use, I have, and when I look, get back and look, I, this is kind of cool. They say everybody's put in your life that difficulty you have from somebody is a gift.
Yeah. No problem, no miracle.
Exactly. You got to have a problem. You got to have problems.
Bridget, is there an adjustment that you make to certain people when you're in their presence? What's that like?
It's terrible. It's family, and I'm always, I still, my latest was that I realized how much I do make up the stories. And that was just like, wow. And that let go a lot of resentment and frustration.
Wow.
Yeah, it helps a lot.
Very good.
Call that one.
Very good. By the way, that's universal, baby. You picked, you found it in one place in your life, but it fits all sorts of other places. You know that. So congratulations. That's busting the ego.
Yeah. And the more I can do it, the better it gets. And
the better.
And then it just kind of, I haven't heard from that person.
Yeah.
You know, it was an intense, I always feel like they're trying to get something from me.
Uh-huh.
And it just is like, freeze up. And then I just realize how much I'm creating now.
Yes. Wow, you jump right in and tell a story the way you, even though it's a lot, you don't want it. You don't want to be this unhappy with this person. Yet somehow the story flows in right away.
Well, the past.
Uh-huh.
The past story.
You got some facts from the past that make them guilty.
Yeah.
Yep.
And then
that's
you,
a really good way to say it.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
You know, it has nothing to do with the past or not.
Holding them to the past. Very good. That's a good catch. You know that's all over those workbook lessons, the first 10 workbook lessons. Good. Excellent. Lisa.
Yes. So, I noticed that what I'm struggling with is saying no when I, or saying yes when I mean no. Some boundaries, and then realizing at the same time as creating something, I'm destroying it, because if I say yes and I mean no, then I might get hardcore mean or angry.
Yes.
Maybe internalize
Very
it, and
good.
Then that frequency of love and above sinks, and then you just are like, oh.
And eventually the truth is going to come out.
Yeah. And sometimes I'll say, and it could, it really is not.
And it's, they're not to blame.
People. It's not their fault.
You're
especially because I said yes.
You said yes when
it's
you meant no.
Fault.
So you really can't blame
so
anybody
I can't
else.
Be the bitch.
So you can't fix them.
To be honest.
Oh my God, we found the problem. We found the problem, and it's Lisa.
But I can't understand, because I'm creating and then destroying all at the same time.
Right.
I'm trying to find what's the balance.
Don't you want peace?
I do.
Do you want love?
Every step.
Do you want a smile?
Always.
More often?
For miles.
Okay. Smile for miles. It's true, you do. And yet, good. You adjust. So let's just put a term on that for tonight. Call it people pleasing.
People pleasing. Yeah.
Very specific ego addiction. If this, then that. If I say yes, they will say yes.
And
somehow.
I think it's tied to my past because I come from corporate America,
yep.
Which I swore I'm never going to do corporate America, but I started with a small company that was a startup, and we launched industrial hemp products to the world in 1997,
Okay.
Hair products, and changed the cosmetology industry. Then I worked for Procter & Gamble and L'Oreal, and then I had an accident, and things changed.
Okay.
And so that was about...
Moved to Santa Cruz, got a Prius, became a vegetarian.
No, actually, I came to Santa Cruz in 2003 with the startup company.
Oh.
Yeah.
And a Prius.
I came here with a book bag.
No. I'm an SUV girl.
Mm-hmm. All right, then. All right, we forgive you.
But I think that's part of the ego. It's like letting go of the people pleaser, because when you're in sales and management and you're working with people in the people pleasing industry, you become what you, and so
you're trained to say yes,
right?
The customer's always right.
The disease to please.
The disease to please. Mm. I don't want that disease anymore.
Trained to say yes, even though it is a lie.
Yes.
And you paying the price.
I am, and it makes me sick.
It should. There's an adjustment. Beautiful. Thank you.
Thank you.
Leah.
Mm-hmm. I do this funny thing where I don't want to have the same relationship with my mother-in-law that she has with my sister-in-law. So I'm vigilant about making sure that we're not going to end up that way. I want her to treat me more like the daughter she's never had. Mm-hmm. But I think she's perfectly happy just having sons. necessarily craves to have the daughter she never had.
Uh-huh.
But I want her to want that.
Yes.
And I also want her to like me more than my sister-in-law.
Okay. Uh-huh.
And then I feel like I also am aware of like having these really good boundaries so that she and I don't fall into the traps
that you've been in before.
That I see her doing with the other one.
Very good.
And then I find myself sometimes feeling resentful, which gets in the way of me adoring her and probably being the daughter that she would want.
right? There's a whole that's a whole plot.
It's
right? Did you write that down?
Yeah.
She's going to make that into a movie.
Yeah. It's like a movie.
Yeah, we have to pick the actress and then off we go. Yeah. All right. You know, my mother has 5 daughters and 1 son. And some of the daughters get along with her and some don't. Mm-hmm. And she adjusts when she's in the presence of this particular daughter, the Enneagram 4 daughter, and she just, it changes. I wouldn't even recognize her. She just changes herself, trying to be likable, and she asks too many questions in the wrong direction of things she doesn't care about, hoping the daughter will pick up on it, but she's too smart for that. And it never works. Mm-hmm. And backfires.
So what's
you got to bust the ego and the stories for sure. It's just going to be this movie she's going to write. You'll be laughing and crying all the way through.
And it's interesting because I'll compensate too. So when he's a little hard on her, then I'm her champion.
Right.
You know, I'll let him know. You think differently about your mom, or then I'll go on his side and go, "Oh no, you shouldn't be that way towards Matt."
Yeah.
Trying to be everything to everybody.
Right.
And trying to do it the clean, healthy way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's a story. It's an image.
Yeah, it's an image.
We're here to bust the image maker who's so invested in looking right, being right, and having a certain outcome. Mm-hmm. Can you hear the Buddhism in that? Mm-hmm. Anybody here study Buddhism?
Yeah.
4 Noble Truths? You know, they feel all the books and teaching everything. You know what? It's all about expectations. You're suffering because you want something to happen.
Attachment.
Oh my God, attachment to it.
Yeah.
It's all about attachment. Yeah. Good. Matt.
Yeah, so I don't like conflict so much, and so I'll a lot of times pretend like it's not there and be inauthentically nice to someone who I have a bit of a beef with.
Yes.
And instead of instead of addressing that thing, it's actually tied up in this whole egoic, like a feeling of like a superior spirituality, like, oh, I'm above having this conflict, or I'm going to set aside my, like, I have a hard time negotiating that. Like, I don't know when I'm authentically just not being reactive, or when I'm just
not telling your truth.
Not, yeah, exactly.
Whether looking, just being Mr. looking nice the part, guy, be, looking not, nice, yeah. sounding nice,
mm-hmm.
and yet lying.
Right.
Right.
With
that's
wish.
The thing. I'm totally fucking lying. I'm totally, completely, yeah, I'm lying. I'm totally
I think we
lying.
Got it. I think we
honesty,
hit this.
Honesty.
Hit this. Honesty, the honesty came out right
in
there.
The course is to be consistent in thought, word, and deed.
So. I fall short.
Yeah.
Yana.
Yeah.
I'm not alone.
You're not alone. Everybody here's got this ego component in there going. And yet, isn't it a wonderful meditation to think, what if, God, just for one day, what if for one day, what you were thinking, right, in your personal space, it's the only thing you spoke about, is exactly what you were thinking.
Wow. Could be a nightmare.
What if you were saying?
It's a movie Liar, Liar, right?
And then whatever you did was perfectly aligned with what you had said, which was perfectly the same as what you were thinking.
Oh, wow.
The behavior and thinking.
I mean, authenticity comes.
Well, the feeling is an effect of what you're believing.
Right.
So it's all lined up. What if a whole day happened that way when nothing was out of balance?
It's so incredible because, like, I've had that experience when I'm feeling really loving towards someone, and that's all I'm feeling, and I'm letting what I'm saying and what I'm thinking reflect what I'm feeling about that, and it's such a difference.
There's a flavor to that behavior, a genuineness.
It's hard to maintain that.
Well, especially if you're worried about rubbing somebody the wrong way.
Yeah.
And it's not a pleasant subject. But on the other hand, don't you all know somebody? Don't you all know somebody who's kind of outspoken, maybe a little rough, but you can trust them?
Right.
I don't always like what they say, but geez, there's nothing else than what they just said. That's it.
Right.
They don't hold grudges either, by the way.
I like it when they don't.
Yeah.
They don't keep a tally.
They don't keep a tally of hold grudges. They'll tell you right to your face.
Truth.
Right.
Even if it hurts.
Yeah. They don't really care what you think. They're just telling you what they think.
Yeah.
You know what? It's over.
It's real.
You all know these. You all know somebody like this or multiple. And you know what? As much as you may not invite them over for Easter, you respect them. And you kind of like them.
Mm-hmm. I don't know anybody like that, but my grandson doesn't seem to judge anybody.
Okay.
His whole thing is about happiness.
Yes.
He does everything he does is he's happy doing.
Right?
And it's wonderful being around him because there's no worries about what he's going to say that's going to upset him.
How old is he?
23.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
He's amazing.
Yeah.
He plays. Everything he does is a game.
Yeah, it could be fun. But I'll tell you, what we're watching out for is the lying here that you have to pay a price for. That just the inconsistencies end up, like I love the saying, the only way you can be a good liar is if you have a very good memory.
Mark Twain. Cannot tell a lie because I can't remember.
That's right. Oh! How much easier to have what you said, what you were thinking. And now, it's just this simple. Life is a lot simpler all of a sudden.
Yeah.
And then you'll be one of these people that people trust, even though they don't like what you said necessarily. But they trust you. And you know what? You're comfortable with them and they're comfortable with you. Yes, ma'am.
I found myself having like this real strong internal, like this feeling or this trigger around this whole thing. Because I really consider myself to be an honest, like I'm honest.
Yeah.
I identify with being an honest guy.
Yes.
But the idea that I don't that I will hold an internal grudge.
Yes.
But be smiling to someone.
Yes.
Is really, that's sort of affecting me right now. Yes. Like that.
Yes.
That strong feeling that I, you know, that is lying.
Yes, the ego is insidious in its ways. For its world to exist, it can't have you be that honest all the time. As turns out, the ego's ways, Matt, will keep you from being this honest person with yourself. With yourself, if not with others as well. We gotta bust that whole thought system.
Yeah, it's a lot of work, isn't it?
You think of the word attack and defense. That's just another way to work. We're talking the same topic. I'm just swapping the words. Attack and defense.
And react.
And it doesn't even look like or sometimes feel like an attack or defense because it's in a kind way. Like, I'm being nice. I'm telling you what's wrong and, you know, and what you can
you
do.
You need
about
to hear this.
Yeah. And if you don't listen, that's your problem. But, you know, that's totally attack. And that was a big lesson for me.
Yeah. So there's this ego cycle. It's the yin and the yang of yin and yang, right? Of the ego is attack
the
and defense.
There's always a banana.
What's the banana reference?
The banana is the problem, it's the issue, the feeling inside that can't conquer or
but what's just, the banana part of it? I don't know.
It's just a phrase.
Oh. I think Mario's got some competition.
There's always a banana.
Lisa, you gotta come back at least for another time to meet Mario. Food is hit. He references
Mario,
the whole world.
Italiano.
Yeah. Yeah. Hey, the whole world is the food to him. Everything.
Yeah. Yes,
he understands it. It's the banana.
Oh yeah.
It's the banana of the world.
can I interrupt just for a second? Because there's something you said when you first started that is, I think it reflects a problem that I have. And it was, when I feel like I'm being genuine, I'm never really sure I am. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it makes sense.
And it's like, I don't know whether I'm really operating from what the Holy Spirit is telling me to do or not.
Yes.
And this.
Good.
It's just getting in your way.
Good.
Sort of trust yourself when you feel like that.
Good.
Because your grandson loves you. And this he's is the same age group as your granddaughter.
So see, this is eyes open.
Has one beautiful thing that's really obvious. She never leaves or comes in without coming over and giving me a hug and a little kiss and saying, I love you, G-Ma.
She does love you, though.
Isn't that part of the story,
then
too?
You just have a little perception.
Okay, so that's lovely.
She loves you.
Thank you, Lisa. Now, I'm going to back you up a little bit.
Thank you.
Because what you said was so honest for all of us.
Yeah.
When she's putting it out there and putting out what she thinks is the truth the best she can, she's not sure. She's there. Mm-hmm. I said it. Do I really mean it?
No, it's not what? That. I said it thinking I'm following the Holy Spirit's directions, but I'm not sure I'm doing it right.
Aha, okay.
Doubt, self-doubt.
Okay. All right. Oh, yeah, there's a little fear there.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And I could do this wrong. And
that's
then I'll be the problem.
Chatterbox telling you that, oh no, you're not doing it right, but don't listen to that lie.
Oh, what if it isn't
shining your bright light?
Unlike the first way she said,
tell us.
That I'm never sure.
That's how she said it.
Mm-hmm,
that's what I'm keying on to.
Yeah.
That's what you, I think that's what you, the core of what you meant.
Yeah.
I'm not sure.
I'm not showing I'm following the ego's myth. And the Holy Spirit's message.
Yes.
And what I think I am.
And therefore, mm-hmm. I am afraid.
Mm-hmm.
I'm doing something good, that I think, and ostensibly in the world. I might even thank for it later. Mm-hmm. But I was afraid the whole time a little bit. I wasn't sure I was doing the right thing. Ooh, what a tenuous way to live, huh?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's not very pleasant.
Very good. There's an adjustment. You're making an adjustment. Hedging your bets. Rather than completely being present and giving this thing come what may, this is how I see it, this is the truth I'm giving you. You're holding back with a little fear. You're not sure. You're doing it right. Therefore, don't go too far. Because if you're doing it wrong, you're going to make it worse. The ego says.
So the thing that's important is that therefore I'm holding something back.
Yes. Mm-hmm. That's your adjustment.
That might be my problem.
That's your adjustment. So guess what? Mm. Nobody gets to go all the way.
Right.
Not you, not them, not even in your dreams.
Why the hell not?
Why not? Fear is why not.
Fear.
F-E-A-R.
There's an acronym for that.
Fear. Give it to me.
I can't recall.
False evidence.
Very real.
Yes.
Okay. What is it?
False evidence.
Anyway.
Right? False evidence.
Appearing
real. It's a lie. It's a story.
Yeah, because if you know the Holy Spirit is leading you, God is within you, and your Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit will direct you anyway, so you can't fear that you're not being genuine. It's impossible to not.
I've always listened to the Holy Spirit through the feelings in my body.
Well, fine energy abstractly realized.
Fine energy abstracting. Keep working on that, Brother John. That's your adjustment, okay? That's your adjustment. Very good.
What's my adjustment?
That you would doubt yourself, thinking that this is safe.
Okay.
You don't, you're not sure you're doing it right.
And so, okay.
You have false evidence appearing real. And there's
I get
no
that.
Reason.
I get that. But how do you get to a point where you say, I'm fearful, therefore that. So what do I do about it? That's the problem.
Well, you come to the right class and you're reading the right book. And what we're here to do is to remove these blocks. That's a specific block to the awareness of love right there. She's trying to love. And yet, what's present?
Fear.
It's
a four-letter word.
Right.
And we learn on page 217.
It's the opposite of love.
Tell us.
It's the opposite of love.
Yes.
Yeah. That's on page one.
Yep.
217. So, when I feel like I'm getting a message from the Holy Spirit, which is usually when something comes into my head that I can't even imagine why I imagined it, why I thought
yep.
it.
Yep.
Then I think that's the Holy Spirit, because otherwise I wouldn't have come
Where
up
Where could
with
it have come from?
Yeah, exactly.
Well, that's another discussion we must have.
It would have been an answer.
Andrew?
Yeah. Yes?
Isn't it peace? Isn't that the distinction? Mm-hmm. That when you know it's the Holy Spirit, you have that feeling of peace overcomes you. Mm-hmm. And you open.
Yes.
Yeah, something opens, you feel the peace.
Yeah. Yes.
And then...
You bet. That's why it says...
That's why I'm trying to find what's the feeling in my body that I know I'm on track.
Yep. Yeah. That's it. There is a measure. Mm-hmm. There is a test. Mm-hmm. And only you can measure it. Mm-hmm. And it's peace. Yeah. Have
it
you ever been peaceful?
But this is prideful.
Prideful, right? You're being assured because you're holding the high ground.
Right.
And the court of the land and all your friends would agree
impressive.
With you. Impressive. Right, you bet. Careful of those things. Slippery slope.
What about affirmations?
We'll work on those later.
Okay.
Because there's Lego loves them.
Okay.
Were you going this way?
Yeah.
Julie. Yeah. Oh, because you guys talking. Yeah.
Well, I'm in the people-pleasing zone. I mean, I brought it up last week.
Yes.
But, well, my flavor is that, so this particular person, there's always a problem and something's always wrong, and I try to generate solutions. The solutions are also wrong.
Mm-hmm.
They don't generate solutions. But what's really, I mean, I've identified a big thing that's going on underneath as people talk about the stories, right? So it's like, I feel like I'm bending over backwards to help and support,
mm-hmm.
and this person doesn't see it, mm-hmm. and so I feel lack. I feel like, then I get in a defensive mode.
Uh-huh.
Like, gosh, mm-hmm. you know, don't you see, like, the 50 million things I'm trying to do for you here and mm-hmm. trying to solve, you know? And so I feel this, like, lack of... their understanding or their seeing me in a good
respect,
light.
Appreciate.
And then, yeah, exactly. Yes. And then, but also, right? So then I come from this lens of like, kind of almost get dismissive. I almost get kind of I'm still trying to solve, but I'm sort of like, oh, do this, it'll be fine, and just kind of like trying to resolve it really quickly because I want out of this yucky dynamic.
Uh-huh.
And then this person feels unappreciated, not valued,
not heard,
like totally.
They don't feel respected.
Both feeling a sense of lack. It's very clear, and now that I've identified that in the last week or two, it's like I'm trying to undo.
Yes.
Right, like release and undo that. But it's you hit and you miss, like just every time, because our needs mutually not meeting each other's needs.
Very good.
Might not be on
every day.
Yeah.
You know.
So Julie is also averse to conflict. And it's easier just not to deal with it.
Well, I hope we never get in a fight.
It'll be very peaceful. The fight would go on
another way.
Not possible.
Wouldn't get it done.
Yeah. Very good. There's adjustment. Mm-hmm. A quick adjustment that's made. Thinking that this is better. And it's just a lack of respect. And that's exactly what you get. For yourself and for the other, turns out, very good. Mm-hmm. Quick adjustment happens.
Mm-hmm. Jeff, an adjustment you make when you're around certain people?
Yeah, definitely. But as far as tonight goes, focusing on one person. So it's my dad, and I think we probably all have issue parent things.
Yes.
And I've been thinking about it a lot while listening to everybody, and I think it's because I really want him to be pleased. I want that's my story. I want that validation. I want that feedback. And I want that maybe a little level of interest or some curiosity.
Yeah.
I don't get any of those things. I've never gotten any of those things.
Yeah.
So then I, for 50 years, tried to get those things. And only in the last 4 or 5 years have I just, taken this radical acceptance perspective and just let it be what it is.
Yeah.
So to do that, I've had to make the adjustment of to be able to be around him and not try. Just to try and accept the way it is. And lately my brain's just been going in circles with like how everybody has the same experience. I just can't understand why we can't connect.
Mm-hmm.
But then I like just have to let it go and say, we're all just pursuing life the best we know how, and that's his stories, those are his scripts, that's his world.
Yep.
I wasn't there for his upbringing, so it doesn't meet my needs, it doesn't fulfill my ego, but I can't change it.
And how bizarre is it that you each seem to get along better with perfect strangers than each other?
Oh.
What the hell?
I hate hanging out with them.
Right?
Frustrating.
Good.
But you gotta do it. So this is the adjustment.
Yes, it's the adjustment. There's an adjustment that happens there. Yeah. Yep. There's a call to honesty. You're trying so hard.
Because in the end, it's just too stressful for me to want things that will never happen.
Right.
Mm-hmm. That's a huge recognition.
Eventually you learn something, get it enough years.
I want to smile, I want to love, I want to be happy.
I want it to look the way that I want it to look. Very good.
See, and the thing, right, it's like I'm not there yet, but identifying this feeling of lack, I know that I already am, like, as an extension of God, I already have and am everything that I am and need. Like, and sometimes I can touch that, and then this feeling of lack goes away.
Mm-hmm.
But it's so, the theme of lack in our lives, it's like, it's in pretty much every single story that we've just shared. And it's just, like, so... Well, also, I used the word earlier, it's insidious. It's just, And I know when I get connected.
Boy, I wish we had time to do all these lessons, because in the workbook.
Yeah, also,
it gets really specific
really
on this nature of lack being all over the place.
Yeah,
and it's some pretty ugly lessons happen, don't they?
Yeah,
there's some really depressing lessons. And you're talking about life. We're talking about this beautiful book on love. There are lessons in here that are ugly that you have to face.
Yeah, in life you've got to face ugly lessons.
Hello. So we're being called out to understand the nature of this dream.
Mm-hmm. And who we really are.
Yeah, and if you keep trying to make the horror film into a
something else,
chorus line, there's too many axes with blood dripping on them to really get the music going right and getting the feel of the chorus line.
Yeah, I don't like the horror films.
So you know what? It's not that. Mm-hmm. And that's part of our understanding of where we are and what we're doing,
mm-hmm.
of what this world is.
And I think with parents, it's like about this validation, this gain, this pursuit of validation.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so the mantra that seems to work best for me is that I'm enough. I mean, I'm exactly right. And I mean, I can't pursue something that I...
Yes.
That I can't control.
Oh my God! Yeah, seeing through our parents' eyes is such a twisted challenge.
It really is.
I'll bet you would fill a psychologist's chair every day in the week with each of us if you really got honest. Yeah, yeah. Oh yeah, my dad, same thing.
And the red flag for me is as I get older and there's teenagers in my life and people around me, not to become my dad.
Right? Yeah.
Hey, man. I'm like, oh.
Now your dad's teaching.
Slap myself daily.
Now he's teaching.
Yeah, no, I got to tell him that. You'll like
that. The thing that I hear, though, in your story, Jeff, is you said you want validation, and I think validation would make you feel like you were loved.
Sure.
I think that...
It's a
call for love. It's not necessarily that you need... You do know you're okay. You do know you're perfect the way you are.
It took work.
But
because I wasn't given that.
What authority better than your own dad to say, son, I've been watching you since you've grown up and I'm proud of you.
Yeah.
I really like what I see.
I've been up.
What better authority than that? Yeah.
Because he can spend hours going on about everything else that's great.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Uh-huh. Yep.
Sometimes.
Like I said, get along better with perfect strangers than with you.
No.
It's good. We're busting the ego here.
Good.
One little piece at a time.
We all have parents.
Good. Watch that adjustment.
Yes, sir.
All we have to do is say it out loud. Huge movements are made right there. Kenny, do you adjust yourself around certain people?
Yeah. One of my tenants.
Ah.
And one of the adjustments is that I'm not as close to Bridget because I think about situation.
Yeah.
And so it takes me a long time to go see the attorney and give him the paperwork and have him move. It takes, asking, hey, would you not do this behavior?
Yeah.
And let it slide.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
It's good not to bring up things at home.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Yeah.
So that's the adjustment in my brain. Trying to keep this story away from me.
Right. Right thing, wrong place.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The other part is I appreciate that this friend of mine doesn't hold a grudge.
Ah.
And that I was not number one tonight on her list.
Oh, on Bridget's list.
That was a miracle.
And respect that difference. You can respect that. It's a common theme among all of us is honesty, isn't it?
Yeah.
Across the board. Yeah. Yeah.
Andrew.
Yes.
What I've been noticing a lot is it seems to be coming back to the issue of correction.
Mm-hmm.
Like all this is we're trying to, what we're doing is we're trying to correct things, which is a full-blown attack.
Uh-huh.
And we're not, but we're trying to help, so we don't notice that we're kind of correcting, but we're so used to doing this correction thing that we can't really see the other side of the coin.
We're so used to doing the correction thing, we can't see the other side. We can't see through the other person's eyes. Thank you very much.
Yeah.
We're so busy seeing from with our story how we think it should be, we're not seeing through the other people's situation. Very good.
And they would love to be able to do a lot better.
But boy, wouldn't it be different if we could actually see through their eyes for a moment?
Because our parents might actually be really loving and validating us in ways that we don't know they're doing it.
We could have a whole different perspective, and a shift in perception is what a miracle is. Carol, do you just around people?
Yes. A relative of mine that I just feel like I can't really be myself, because if I say something wrong, it'll affect the dynamics.
Mm-hmm.
Things won't be allowed.
Mm-hmm.
If I don't just try and figure out what not to say.
Watching your words. Yeah.
Oh, it's terrible, because the basis of my good friends is it's just great to feel happy and be yourself.
Oh my God, how it flows. Yeah. When you're with the good friends, how it flows.
Right, and you're just
not defended,
and you're not worried, and you're not scared, and you're not fearful.
You could say the wrong thing, and they would hear you say the right thing.
Yeah,
when you're among those kind of friends,
that's exactly right.
So it's like no worries.
Yeah. It's what you said at the beginning. They would bend towards you.
They would bend toward you to get. That's right.
Yeah, exactly.
Very good. Very good. That's love is present, right? That's the holy relationship. Is we're actually interested in seeing through their eyes more than our own, because I want to be close. Yeah. And I will be.
Yeah. It's right? And I feel small around this person.
You sound awkward. The phrases and the topics you pick to speak about are so weird because they're so guarded. Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, we know.
And grudges are held on the other side.
Oh, yeah.
There's nothing like
it's confusing.
Grudges.
They can't figure out what you're actually thinking, because the way you're putting out the signals you're sending are confusing.
It's really sad.
It's really sad, because you just want to love and you're trying not to rock the boat. You're trying to do your part.
Someone really important in my life, right, that it can't even be authentic with.
Right?
Yeah.
You said it. Right. You said it. You know what they want?
Love.
Yeah.
I know.
You know what they want? Authenticity.
Right.
You know what they want? Honesty. They'd rather have the short version than this big, roundabout, long thing where you're trying to say, I don't like the guy you're dating.
wouldn't that be ego validation they want?
I think that y'all want to be loved, though.
What?
Ego validation.
If it's an interaction, an ego interaction, don't they want to be validated? And the way you validate yourself is different from the way they validate themselves. And you, that's why the conflict in your mind that occurs when you're having an interaction with.
The conflict is in the dishonesty, the people pleasing. It comes with a huge price and confusion.
Well, I think in this case, I would be working at, what am I trying to say? Not afraid of saying things if there weren't ramifications.
If there weren't ramifications.
Right.
Yeah.
Those are based on the past, too.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, good. So you make an adjustment.
Right.
You make a quick adjustment based on the story, and you think things go better. It's stressful.
Yeah.
It's stressful, but at least nobody throws food at you when you go to their house to eat. I get it. Mary, do you make an adjustment around people? Any person in particular?
Well, when you first introduced this topic, I thought of my mother, who I perceived as wanting to be the only one who could say anything. So I just back off.
Yes,
if anybody spoke up, she'd just jump on them. My relationship with her has gotten much worse in the 9 years since she died.
Uh-huh.
Because it's like, I had a lot to say.
Right.
And I'm just saying it.
Yes.
After she died.
Very good, Mary.
It got easy enough that I could say it, to myself.
Now it's safe for you to say it. Yeah.
Yeah, so I said it to myself and my brother, you know, he felt the same kind of stuff. Ooh, I'm getting red.
Good.
But the thing is, what I've done is, I've made her so terrible.
Yes, yes.
That I'm grieving that I don't have a mother.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Now, this is really stupid because...
Yes.
Obviously, there were some ways in which she was a good mother.
Uh-huh.
But they just got buried under...
Yes.
I'm withdrawing from her because it's... There's no...
You bet.
And I've really made her just the worst person. And now I'm grieving. I'm thinking, why do I really have any mother?
Yeah. Yeah, you're not alone.
Yeah.
You're not alone in this story.
Oh.
You bet.
I just made her all bad.
Uh-huh.
And then I don't have any mother.
And you don't have a mother to boot. Yes.
That makes me cry.
Yes. Right, very good. Good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, just remember, it's only an illusion. Throw it away.
So what about, like, in our heads?
I made it up. I can make up something else.
All right, make it up. Yeah.
Now, wait a minute.
It's an illusion, right?
Now, Mary. Mary.
I didn't get what Lisa said.
Yeah, hold on. Now, Lisa, you got to be quiet for the rest of the meeting because you haven't read the book. You could say the things you're saying so much easier after you read the book a little bit. Okay, so we have a language here.
Well, I'm also about to interrupt.
Yes. Okay, so if you don't mind, I'll just do that.
Yeah. Dave said something really helpful. What did you say?
It's just a dream. It's all illusion.
Yeah.
So remember that, and then just make a new one.
You made it up.
Okay. So that's an adjustment, right?
Yeah,
you can make an adjustment.
I got to change the story I tell myself.
Okay, now here's what I like to say to you. You can't cry without there being love driving it.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because my grandmother died, and you're not crying about her. Why not?
So, the adjustments you've made in trying to be the good daughter, and trying to stay out of her way, and all of that, these were all the same efforts of trying to be loved and show her respect all the time. None of your message is lost because you still have it in your heart right now. It's in your heart. This is what's real.
Yeah.
All the words are just another story. And it's going to continue to unfold on how this dynamic was indeed a dance of love. You and your mother. She was trying to do her damn best that she could. Same with your dad, Jeff. He's pretty rotten at it, but he is doing his best. And you know what's behind it all is the love that's there for Mom. What's your mother's name?
Dorothy.
It's not about Dorothy. God. Dorothy was a witch sometimes. How do you put up with that behavior? But not Mom. Mom is not a witch. You know why? Because Mom's name is not Dorothy. It's Mom. Mm-hmm. Dorothy has a life that she lived. There's just Mom.
Mom is love.
That's why you call her Mom.
I've been calling her Dorothy for years.
Right? That helps. That's your adjustment. You go from Mom, where everybody loves their mom, and their mom loves them. And their dad loves them when his name is Dad. But Dorothy, not necessarily. In fact, that's not the love I want. Now, this is very good. Because... big picture now, we're backing up now. The big picture, what we're studying with Course in Miracles, ultimately, it's not the relationship with the other person in your dream. It's with the truth. That's the big relationship we're adjusting to. We call it God. God's not a person in this book. He's just the truth. The source. Mom. Mom had a truth to it that you love. Everybody has the same mom as you. When you call Mom. So very good. Bust that wide open. Bust that story open. And she will continue to be your teacher. To take the teeth out of that whole relationship. And only the love will survive. Good. It's coming. I can see it on your face. It's coming.
That's beautiful.
Good. Good for you. Good.
I've been thinking about everything that's being said too. And what I was thinking is, okay, how do we get away from
adjustments that are not the ones that are going
to
work.
Thank you. That puts us right to where we need to be tonight.
Okay.
So
I'll
turn.
Further.
You, yeah, stop right there. Okay. So turn to page 430 in the text. Okay, so now we're talking about these adjustments in our busy way of trusting these ideas. They're supposed to make everything happy.
430 in the front, right?
In the front, right. Yeah. In the text, yeah, front. 430. 430, paragraph 6. Matt, you read that for us?
Sure. Who in a holy relationship can long remain unholy? The world the holy see is one with them, just as the world the ego looks upon is like itself. The world the holy see is beautiful because they see their innocence in it. They did not tell it what it was. They did not make adjustments to fit their orders. They gently questioned it and whispered, "What are you?"
Mm-hmm.
And he who watches over all perception answered, mm-hmm. "Take not the judgment of the world as answer to the question, 'What am I?' What am I? The world believes in sin, but the belief that made it as you see it is not outside you."
Yo! Now, Julie, would you read the exact same paragraph to Matt?
Who in a holy relationship can long remain unholy? The world the holy see is one with them, just as the world the ego looks upon is like itself. The world the holy see is beautiful because they see their innocence in it. They did not tell it what it was. They did not make adjustments to fit their orders. They gently questioned and whispered, "What are you?" And he who watches over all perception answered, "Take not the judgment of the world as answer to the question, 'What am I?' The world believes in sin, but the belief that made it as you see it is not outside of you."
Okay, this is all good news. This is a beautiful supporting paragraph. Are you feeling it? This is a really good adjustment back.
Can I make a guess as to what I think it's saying?
Bring it!
I'm really trying to figure out how to read this book.
Bring it.
Is it saying with this first piece around innocence?
Mm-hmm.
You look at the world as holy, that means holy means whole.
Mm-hmm.
Then if I'm making an adjustment in a relationship, I'm forgetting the innocence.
Yes.
Of whatever that partnership relationship thing. Mm-hmm. Whether it's to the self, I'm forgetting my innocence. I'm forgetting my mother-in-law's innocence.
Yep. You're forgetting the truth of innocence.
Okay. So if we can find the...
As nasty as his dad is.
Right, if we can... Right.
Or Dorothy. Oh, God, Dorothy.
Or Dorothy.
Let's use Dorothy.
Right.
Oh, the things she would say at the table when Mary may have set the table, brought the food. Who knows what else Mary did trying to be the good daughter. And you know what Dorothy did.
And her pain and suffering.
Yeah, to be able to see a miracle is a shift in perception about that ugliness to the innocence. But this woman, Dorothy, could have been... You would need a miracle in order
to
see. Yes, because what she's doing is not very innocent. No court of law, and everybody in this room and all her friends, all Mary's friends would say, "That was nasty, Mary. You did not deserve that. Mary, you did not deserve that."
Reinforcing.
Oh my God, you are so right, and she is so wrong. So says the world, right? Everybody would agree with that. But then we just went right off into ego land.
Right.
We're skipping the innocence.
Yeah. Good. Because only if we only do nasty, horrible things when we're because we're confused.
Yep.
Right. We're believing something that causes our separation, and therefore we lash out. And do
we lash out because we're not feeling love. We're not feeling that we're in love. So we lash out. Dorothy just didn't feel anybody respected her enough, so she had to take over the conversation to try to get inside. She didn't feel strong. Outside, she looks as strong as she frickin' could. So maybe somebody would give her a little respect. At least her own kids, for crying out loud. They should salute her something. Now, that's all it was. There's innocence. Everywhere you look, This is part of what it means to heal your mind, is to let that miracle be shown to you. That's what the Holy Spirit's job is. In this book, the Holy Spirit's part of your mind, still connected to the truth, oh thank God, will translate your dad's behaviors and Dorothy and that daughter or granddaughter?
Granddaughter.
The granddaughter of yours. Mm-hmm. Would translate her looks, that wrinkled nose, translate it for you. To the innocents. Very good. Okay, now let's pour through. We only got a couple of minutes. So we got to pour through. Okay, now, who in a holy relationship can long remain unholy? What a tease, right? Well, God, if I was holy, I wouldn't be unholy. But that's the whole point, is that we make an adjustment back toward truth, back toward honesty. If everything that you were thinking, what you were thinking, was in line with what you said, that honesty is very powerful. It will be on your face with the words that you speak next. It's all informed. The words that you spoke.
So, but then maybe you're holy, but you don't know it. You don't realize it.
Not maybe.
Well, especially if you're worried about doing the right thing.
Yeah.
The unholiness is defending. Thinking that there's a problem. The ego is looking for a problem to try not to make a mistake, right?
My thought that
the people pleaser is trying to say what they want to hear so that they'll smile and maybe even give you a hug and say, you know what? Lisa's okay. Lisa's pissed that she lost yet another Friday night helping this person move to yet another apartment. I'm sick of helping them move, right? That's the truth. So there's this unholy problem that surrounds it. Honesty, right? What if what you were thinking and what you said was the same as what you did? It would just be like a beautiful, easy song to listen to because it's all lined up. Very good. Now, sentence two. The world, the holy seed, is one with them, just like with their thoughts are one with what they say. Ooh, how easy that is. Just as the world the ego looks upon is like itself, which is the state of chaos and competition and worry about Satan and judgment. Yeah, you got it. And stories.
And lack.
And lack. The world, the holy sea, it's beautiful. Why? Because the holy sea, watch now, their own innocence in the world. It's not just innocence. That's too generic. Your personal, honest innocence you see in the world. That's how the holy, that's the holy see in the holy relationship.
Yeah, that's going to be a tricky little ego trap though, right?
Yes.
It can be.
Well, it busts the ego and the ego can't stand it. Because the innocence that you're seeing is in Dorothy's horrible remarks at the dinner table. Again. And you're going to see your own innocence in that woman's remarks. That is a translation. I'm telling you, no problem, no miracle. If you don't have a problem, you don't need forgiveness. You don't need a miracle. Yes?
Would you define innocence? Or expound on it a little tiny bit?
Yes. Yes. Innocence is honesty.
So when we're looking...
Is that too short?
Yeah.
You want to wear more words?
So we're looking for the innocence.
Truth. It's the truth.
We're looking for the innocence in others.
Yes.
And what are we looking for?
Looking for the honesty in others. They're giving it to you. You're just not reading it right.
You're not getting what you want, or you're not getting what you want.
You're translating.
You're not getting
what you
ego
want.
Wants.
You're putting a story on top of their honesty and making them lie.
The stick thing.
You're putting together this translation that's ugly.
But what if their story is just diabolically opposed to yours?
Diabolically! I mean, haven't all of us sat for a few minutes by now with Dorothy?
Like, fuck that story. I have honesty. There's no honesty. I see no innocence because I don't see the honesty sometimes.
I'll tell you, Dorothy is not doing to her own children anything that she didn't need to do at that time. For herself at that time, that's what she could afford.
Doing the best she can.
The best she can was pretty damn ugly.
And it may not be to everybody else's standards, but it's the best they can do.
And it wasn't from her time.
It honestly was. It was the best. You know why? Because Dorothy wants anybody? Julie? What does Dorothy want?
Love.
She really does. She wants happiness, love, and you know what else Dorothy really freaking wants? A good night's sleep. Just like you! I mean, really. She would like that too. Honestly, she would. Innocently, she really wants honesty and love and peacefulness. She doesn't know how to get it, and she feels it slipping through her fingers every day. Dorothy never said any of those horrible things at that dinner table that she was grasping at that time, trying to satisfy this problem. It looked pretty guilty to all of us. We've all sat at that table by now. It is up to you to see her innocence. Up to you to see her innocence.
So it's like
once you have that, that's a miracle to do that, no doubt.
Right.
Oh my God, if she told us the actual words, we would probably all have to step back and say, whoa, right? Doesn't matter, right? This is a miracle is needed now. Once that miracle occurs, don't skip ahead, Mary. Don't cheat yourself and go straight to forgiveness. Everybody, listen up. Don't skip straight to love, because it will be an ego ploy and it will be a lie.
Yeah.
Don't
and
lie to yourself.
You can tell by how you feel.
Yes.
You don't feel complete. You don't feel the true peace that comes with real forgiveness.
Bingo! You're singing it. This is this Course in Miracles student.
That was a good song. You just sang.
Because she's been there. And it's inauthentic and it's dangerous.
That's why I think saying, oh, they did the best they could, seems like such a bypass.
It's a bypass. It's a lie. You know? It's a lie. And I'm moving it up to dangerous now.
Wow.
It's dangerous. You know why it's dangerous? Because if you lie to yourself about love, if you lie to yourself about forgiveness, you're taking its gifts away. You know why? Because you're people-pleasing yourself. You're angry still. You don't believe what you just said. You're lying to yourself.
So, if people believe in what you're saying, you're perpetuating the falsities.
Yeah, and you're faking it.
And that's doing the world any favors either.
Don't skip.
You might turn into Dorothy.
You might become a new Dorothy. Don't skip straight to love. Don't speed this up. Don't skip straight to forgiveness. Don't cheat yourself. Go to the miracle first. Get in front of the ugliness first.
And feel it.
Feel it.
You have to experience it or it's not authentic.
Get there. And then ask the Holy Spirit to look at it with you.
But what are you experiencing? You're experiencing the discovery of the innocence, right?
Yes. That's very good.
So that's... Because if you say you just feel it, I tend to go feel into the righteousness and the anger and the ego and the... What the fuck?
No, you have...
I have
you
a
have,
right, right to feel...
Tell her, Julie.
All
tell
of
her.
That, right?
Julie, tell her.
Yes. So the way out of that, which can just be a
spiral.
Yeah.
There I go around.
The view is still looking for the innocence. So you start looking for the
don't
innocence.
Start with the innocence. You know what? Unless you're a master. I mean, you obviously already have the idea of innocence is out there.
Yeah.
Okay? So that's good. So in that way, you do start with the innocence. Mm-hmm. You start with a goal. Mm-hmm. Indeed. Yeah. But you can't forgive what you're not looking at.
It has to be brought to the light. And the only way it's brought to the light is when you have the pain or when you have the fear or when you identify it. And it's the things that we hide in ourselves that are the darkness that prevent us from experiencing our own innocence and the innocence of others.
Yes.
And it's our ego that keeps us there.
Yeah, so we really want to get honest with ourselves and feel it. One last time.
But there's a distinction in how you feel, because you just said that whole spiral thing, and you're right. Like, when ego's in there feeling it, you go down.
But when you show up to have it be translated,
yes,
you sit with it,
yes,
without judgment. You, yes, just sit with it. You're, yes, feeling,
yeah,
it,
yeah,
and you're recognizing, oh, I'm feeling this. Oh, yeah, I'm feeling this. Yeah. But you're not saying, you're not labeling it. It's just recognizing.
So you're in the grief of whatever the feelings, yes, are, yes, but you're not wrapping, yes, it with all the stories.
And you're not adding more stories to, mm-hmm, it and telling more stories of justification and how bad it was. No, mm-hmm, you're just feeling.
You're feeling a loss.
Feel a loss.
But you're not.
And then stop right there. Once you touch it, you know, right when the tears start to come, that's good enough.
And the Holy Spirit is the key.
Okay. And that's the Holy Spirit will translate.
The Holy Spirit knows. I don't know. I don't, mm-hmm, know why I'm... I mean, I think I know why I'm feeling this way. Mm-hmm. I think I know why I'm feeling this way because somebody I really love just slammed me.
Yep.
And I don't know why they slammed me.
Yep.
I love them. Why would they slam me? Why, yep, would they cut me out of their life?
You don't deserve that.
No.
Why is the ego?
Now.
Yeah, that's the ego. The why is the ego?
Yes.
And
now, Julie, finish it.
Okay, Julie.
Why is the ego? And what we're doing now with Course in Miracles in this technique is to look at the how.
Yeah.
Not the why.
Right.
The ego puts a reason behind it. You'll never get out of it.
Okay, that's good.
How is what we're going to look at now.
This is how.
Just the facts. No, the how is... How is it I end up feeling so rotten?
Right.
And you know how it happens? Well, if you looked in the mirror while you were doing it, your face would be closed, your fists would be clenched, mm-hmm, your shoulders would be high. This is how you end up feeling horrible.
Mm.
This is how. Now, forget the why.
Yeah, there's no...
We just need to get you in the presence of that experience that, with a miracle, can be forgiven. The idea here is don't go straight to love and just forgive your mom. Your mom's forgiven from the start, and that's the conflict you have. Mom is always going to be mom, and we love her, and she loves you always and forever, and she loves me too. That's mom.
Mm-hmm.
Dorothy, on the other hand, we need a miracle.
Mm.
We need a shift in perception about Dorothy. That we're going to get with the Holy Spirit looking at it with you. That's what this book does.
Mm-hmm.
You can take her with you through this whole book, and she will be teaching you in those difficult situations. It can be translated, and you will find the innocence with the wisdom of the Holy Spirit, which is just waiting to be asked.
Mm-hmm.
It tells you how. We've been over it many times. We'll go over it many times again on how you actually do these things. But you're right. It is now to see your own innocence in Dorothy. Your own innocence. That's why I'm focusing on this word. Look at that sentence 3 now. It says, the world the holy see is beautiful because they see, drum roll, their innocence in the world. In Mary. Dorothy. In the horrible ugliness we find, that's where you see. It would take a miracle to shift your perception around that ugliness. That's the key. The ego will never show you this, Matt.
You know, I think I'm lost a little bit.
Okay.
It sounds to me like seeing the innocence or honesty is the first step. With seeing the innocence or honesty, doesn't that lead directly to love? I mean, what is the intermediate step between that and love? Why would there have to be anything besides
this? If you were a master, and you are, and you will be. The innocence is first when you're a master.
So when do you feel the pain around whatever has... It sounds like you're feeling pain around whatever's been done. Is that before seeing the innocence or after seeing the innocence? And if it's after seeing the innocence, are you really seeing innocence at that point, or are you...
Yeah, it's the correction from, okay? If you could honestly... see the innocence, you don't need A Course in Miracles, you don't need the miracle, you don't need forgiveness. You know why? Because there's nothing to forgive. You saw the innocence. The truth is you don't. The truth is they're an SOB. No mother should say that to their daughter, I don't care, ever. Come on, it's a daughter. We have plenty of guilt to go around. That's how I feel. I gotta get really honest with that's how I feel. I don't want Mary to put up with that. You know, I don't want you to have one more thought of Dorothy like that. I'm sorry, that ever happened? What? Say again?
That's the ideal, to see the innocence or honesty. That's not a first step then, right?
Correct. The ideal is born in your mind some way, somehow, that love is. Backing up now, big picture statements here. Actually, love is. Somehow, somewhere. I'm not seeing it. I'm not finding it, but it is.
Feeling it. So seeing the innocence is being in the healing of it. You've had the healing. There's no longer a charge. There's not a pain body any longer.
Healing. Yes, healing.
So
healing.
You're feeling.
Yeah. The justification for the healing.
In it, because you see all of it, and you no longer have the pain. Is the pain as a? You can only see the innocence.
No, the pain doesn't go away. Careful now.
Okay.
The pain doesn't go away. Everybody, notice a notice posted on the door. Bell ringing. Alert news.
Yeah.
As long as you're in a body, you're going to have pain.
About Dorothy.
Even about Dorothy.
It doesn't matter.
But Dorothy pain will get less and less and disappear.
Okay.
But always.
However, you can remember.
I wasn't saying pain for about anything. I was just thinking pain
even
about
Dorothy. You can remember the pain of Dorothy always.
Okay.
You know why? Because it hurt.
Yeah.
It would be lying to say it didn't. But it hurt to the Mary before she was forgiving. It really did. Now, careful now. Watch my words carefully. I'm sorry I'm going so fast, but this is so important we have to stay still. If you forgot the pain, you would lose your compassion. And that's a price it's not reasonable to pay. Because so with it goes love. I know I just sped through that. I apologize. But that is another important piece to this of how we can see love in the ugliest places possible. The pain never goes away of Dorothy. But it becomes a representation of choosing love as we heal.
The lessons really, really, really help with that. I mean, the lessons I can't.
Yeah. All right. So, now, let's get back to this paragraph so we can officially go through the paragraph. But thank you. It's really important stuff. And bring it up again, because there's big lessons here we're speeding through. Now, okay, great. So you got it. Key sentence there. The world, the Holy See is beautiful because, okay, we already told you how ugly the world is. The Holy see it beautiful because they see their innocence in the ugly world. That's the translation that brings peace back to you. You see your innocence in your dad, Jeff. It's going to be beautiful. Same for Dorothy.
That'll be freeing, too.
Freeing. And the beauty of Dorothy will return as you see your innocence, not her innocence, your innocence. The very innocence that you know.
And the innocence doesn't get rid of the pain. The pain still is there, but you see that they were innocent in producing, or that the state that arose in you did not have anything to do with it.
Let's just say
it was simple. Innocent, there was just
something. Let's say what you started with. The it does not get rid of the pain, it gets rid of the suffering.
Okay, that makes sense.
It's no longer a problem.
Okay.
Right. It hurt, but it's not a problem. In fact, I get it. I get why I was in pain. I get why she said what she said. And now I've seen her innocence.
Makes all the difference right there.
My innocence. You bet.
Okay.
You bet. And now, are you ready for the big statement of the whole book?
There's no problem.
That would be good. If it's true, same thing. The holiest place on ugly earth. I added the word ugly. The holiest place on earth, this is a quote, is where an ancient hatred becomes a present love.
I love that.
Transmutation.
A miracle has happened. Forgiveness is so quick because the miracle happened, see? It's not a job. And the holy instant is seeing the love that was running there the whole frickin' time, as ugly as I saw it. Was actually love, stumbling and struggling and saying the wrong thing.
Wow.
And then that's the healing. And now there's love.
And that piece, that turning point, because we were talking about where the release is, and it's that all you have when you're facing that darkness and sitting with it,
is a little bit of willingness to see it differently, but you do not see it differently. Like, it just happens. Like, that's the part where if you're trying to describe to somebody how you can suddenly not suffer, it really is just translated. It's like, and it cannot surface again. You can be, sometimes it does resurface because there's still a little more healing that needs to happen. But other times, there's just a complete release that, and it's not another story. It's actually not, and that's the difference. Like, it's not another story. There's just, you just look at the situation and you just see it differently.
And you just, yes. See, can you guys feel what she's saying? Mm-hmm. Obviously, she's been there, right? Mm-hmm. Julie has been there. She's had this situation where just saw it differently, right? That's what we call in this book light. Mm-hmm. That's what light is. It's this moment of understanding.
It's like alchemy, turning darkness to light.
It is exactly. It is alchemy. Mm-hmm.
All the stuff that you guys are saying here is like when I'm looking at the step work.
Yes.
When I do, seeing my part in things.
Hello.
Writing my resentments, and then guess what? What was your part in that shit? I'm like, wait, I'm a victim. I didn't have a part. What are you talking about? And then I had to sit with that, and I found my part in the things that I had stories upon stories on, mm-hmm. and I actually forgave, like, the suffering. I went through so much suffering, and I truly have peace. I mean, when I was done with my sponsor that day, I couldn't even walk because I felt so light.
What a load off. Wow.
So, yeah, like, that's, like, seeing your part in things is what kind of, like, you know, and now I went through the suffering again. I sat in the darkness.
Oh, yeah.
When I was homeless, I sat every night in this dark suffering, and I just turned this darkness to, like, it. I faced it finally, because I spent my whole life running from it. Now I'm facing it, and now all this is happening, and, like, this came into my life as a guide, because I'm like, is this authentic?
Yes.
Am I my spiritual ego getting in the way?
You need permission.
And I'm like, I am so grateful I found this group.
Amen.
Because my freaking heart is exploding.
The weight is coming off. I used to call it backpack.
My stomach hurts right now. Like, I'm getting pulsations in my belly button. I can't.
Yes. You are being reborn. You are being reborn. You were reborn in your sobriety date.
Sheeping over here.
And this is what a spiritual awakening is. Mm-hmm. Because now this is more real than all of the effort that you tried before. Mm-hmm. This freedom is more real. It's just time.
You can't think about it.
Yeah.
Can't run from it anymore. Can't drink to, like, sleep.
That's why they use the word enlightenment, because you literally get lighter. You just feel lighter. There's more light in your life.
I lost 12 pounds in the past 2 weeks, and I believe it's because I just let go of stuff.
Wait,
I'm
lost like, too?
No, I'm not trying, really.
No, it's true. Yeah, it's just time for that. Oh, the hell will probably come back here and there.
Miracle,
but you'll never forget.
Exactly.
The power of your own mind.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I've been to many AA meetings. I told you guys. Mm-hmm. And I've got family members in the program. So once I'll trip along. And I'm hiding my tears. Because what they're calling this a spiritual meeting, it's people who are honestly have run to the end. Mm-hmm. They've run to their bitter end. And it was either out or back up. The hope, they don't know where the hope came from. Because you know what? The drink, honestly, would have been a better choice. It seemed. But they couldn't do that one more time. Somehow, by the grace of God, all God is truth, they managed not to drink. And a little light showed up in a very dark place. Hitting bottom, right?
Waking up on the levee with my head in the water almost submerged with needles next to me.
Wow.
I wasn't using the needles, thank God. I never touched any of that stuff, but that was an awakening. And I ended up in the hospital, and I'm like, okay. And I seriously had, I saw the light.
All it takes, we sit in this room many times, very depressed, right? When you get depressed, it's very, very dark. Like a big dark room. A little bit of light goes a long way.
Yep.
And so that's the turning point. Very good. Very good. Okay. Let's just spend a couple seconds here before we have our circle. Make sure we hit the big parts. Yeah. Okay. Okay, right? So sentence four, you know, they, these ones who now see wholeness and holiness, the innocence, they did not tell the world what it was. They did not make adjustments to fit their own orders about what the world should be. No, They gently question the world. That's why it's so important to question. Don't skip straight to love, folks. It's a lie. Miracle first, then forgiveness, and all you'll have is love. Okay? That's what we're talking about. They said, what are you? Mary, asking Dorothy, Dorothy, what the hell are you doing? You can do that. You can do that tonight.
Before you sleep well.
What the hell are you doing? And then, capital letters now. He, capital letters, who watches over all perception, answered. Perception means your translation of what you see. How you see it. Its meaning. Okay? Now we're asking the Holy Spirit with the capital letters. The perception of what Dorothy was actually doing at the dinner table. Take not the judgment of the world as answer to the question, what am I? The world believes in separation, darkness, competition, weakness, struggling, judgment. Unfair judgment. Yes. But the belief that made it as you see it. Careful now. The belief that made it as you see it. Well, it's not outside you. It's within. You've been doing it. You decided what Dorothy was, what she meant. And you told a story around it. And you decided, Loanne, what your granddaughter's question meant and what she felt about me. You decided that. And then you reacted by stepping back. It was not her.
Yeah, I know.
Right? You know that.
I know that.
Yeah. So we're here to bust the ego on this.
What I have found, once in a while I can see innocence in other people with whatever they're doing. And when I do that, I feel innocent myself.
Nice. Yes, yes, yes. Well, let's have a circle.
That's a perfect way to end the meeting.
Yeah. Nice. Yeah. We'll have a quick circle. Take a breath. A happy adjustment, putting some air in your lungs where it's much needed. So you can be still for just a moment and you can recognize all the little adjustments that you make that turn out to be a lie. You know what? Keep it simple. Start thinking about honesty with yourself. Try to say things that you're actually thinking. Get them out sooner. Maybe you can't do it just like that, but do it sooner. And your life will start to align, and you can trust yourself, and they can trust you, and things will start to get a lot simpler. Thank you, thank you. Amen.
Thank you. Amen. Thank you.
Good job, group. Thank you. Thank you. Thank everybody for your input.
Thank you.
Thank you, man.
Thank you.
Coming into the summer months, I'm here every week.
I mean, that's a good doorway into spiritual.